Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would now open up your word to us. Let us see Jesus. Let us hear your voice as you declare your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is powerful, that it is quick, and that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Speak to us now. Set the captives free, that we will be free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you watching, I want you to go to Facebook right now, to the myfaith.tv Facebook page. You might be on Facebook already. I want you in the comment section below just to let us know what has been happening in your home. Let us know what you have been experiencing over this time, during this time of worship. If you're only joining us now, I want you also then to click on the share button. Even if you're watching by way of television, quickly go to the myfaith.tv Facebook page. You will find the broadcast live right now. Click on that link. Click on that video. And I want you to share this feed. Share it and then tag 10, 20 people. Those 10, 20 people that even now the Spirit of the Lord is showing you exactly who those individuals are that need to hear the word of the Lord this day. This morning I want to share a word from the Lord dealing with faith on the one hand but also covenant on the other. We all know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But what I've discovered in looking at the Israelites as they left Egypt traveling through the wilderness and God who reaffirmed his covenant with his people in essence was saying to them, and what was happening is that faith came as a result of hearing the covenant of God. So following the Exodus, God spoke through his servant Moses. And God reaffirmed his covenant with his people in Sinai. His covenant involved a number of promises. But they also, as his people, had various responsibilities. In the Bible, God makes many promises, but man still has to do the work. You will remember that when God spoke to Noah, he promised that he would keep Noah and his family. But he also went so much further to say to Noah, to instruct Noah that he was to build an ark. You see, God wasn't just going to sustain him by supernatural means. In other words, just sort of taking him away and then reintroducing him to the earth after everything had taken place. God says to him, yes, I will keep you. Yes, I will keep you safe. Yes, you are the one to whom I promise that you will again through your family populate the earth. But God then says to him, build an ark. In other words, it's not so much about the promises of God, but also the fact that there are responsibilities that we have. God is gracious thereby, but it is also up to us to be obedient. I define obedience as to being us putting our faith into action, which then leads to the manifestation of the fullness of God's covenant promises in and upon our lives. I want you to go to the book of Joshua chapter 1 with me, and we're going to read just some of the verses. We're going to start quickly just from verse 2. In verse 2, God introduces, in essence, this conversation by making this statement to Joshua, saying to him that Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua faithfully served Moses quietly in the background for 40 years. It's interesting that when you actually then go and you read the account of where the Israelites traveled out of Egypt and spent the time, the 40 years in the wilderness, you actually begin to see how many times Joshua is actually mentioned in that account. You actually find that wherever you find Moses, you find Joshua in very, very close proximity. What is the lesson for us this day? In other words, what I'm saying to you is let God promote you. Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7 in the Passion Translation says this, "This I know, the favor that brings promotion and power that doesn't come from anywhere on earth. For no one exalts a person but God, the true judge of all. He alone determines where favor rests. He anoints one for greatness." You see, He is the only one that brings blessings and increase. No man can bless you the way that God can bless you. On the one hand, we have time. On the other, we have what is referred to as a season. Time is for preparation and season for manifestation. 40 years, Joshua served in the background, faithfully serving in the background for 40 years. Many times we get upset when the promotion does not come within the first 6 months. We get upset, we even go so far to get offended when the promotion does not come within the 3 years. Yet Joshua served faithfully, quietly in the background for 40 years. The 40 years in essence becomes what is referred to as Chronos time. Time being a time then for preparation. You see, God was quietly forming him, developing him. He had to develop his gift and his skill set for the task at hand. That time was for preparation. But now God speaks to him in Joshua chapter 1 saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead." In other words, the baton has been passed on from the previous generation to the next generation. And it is now in this place where he is about to step out of time and step into his season. Pastor Nicky Fanavesa once said this. He said that when your season comes, demand comes. In other words, when your season comes, there is a demand that is placed upon you. And so it is that Joshua served faithfully in the background for 40 years. But he is now ready to make the transition from time into season, from preparation to manifestation. And I see that this is exactly what is busy happening in the world right now. This is exactly where we're at. Because this brings me to the latter part of verse 2, which says, "Arise, go over this Jordan. Arise, go over that which separates," says the Spirit of the Lord. Many times what we look at thinking that it is a natural barrier is in fact a spiritual barrier. Because they came from a place where they had to prepare. Time, prepare. But now they were about to arise and cross over the Jordan River. Yes, it is a natural barrier, but it has a very deep and profound spiritual significance. I've been looking at what's been happening during this lockdown. In other parts of the world, they call it the quarantine. Nonetheless, this has been a time where churches have been locked down, ministries have been locked down, people's way of life has been limited, greatly impacted in so many ways. But what the Lord was showing me is that there were people who took this time of the lockdown, secretly in the background, preparing for what's about to come, for what's about to come to the body of Christ. There's even ministers watching right now, pastors, great men and women of God watching right now. Although there have been others who've simply been trying to survive the conditions of the lockdown and the quarantine, you have taken this time to prepare, knowing that God will speak to you, telling you to arise from this situation under which circumstances have kept you. that you were waiting the voice of the Lord as he decrees and declares upon you even now. Arise and shine. It is time for you to be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. As the glory of the Lord rises upon you, he rises upon all that you do. Your circle of influence, the territory he has given you, the land he has given you, the influence he has given you. It is time for you to rise to a new life. For you have been developing your skill set, developing the gift that God has entrusted to you. Businessmen, businesswomen, I also see many individuals in all seven spheres of society, whether it is sport, whether it is government, whether it is business, school, media, arts and entertainment. God has been preparing you for a time and a place such as this. You have been preparing in the background, whilst others have been running around scared, fearful, allowing fear to grip their hearts, not being able to see what God has, what anyone has, for that matter. Not knowing what's about to happen next. They've allowed fear to dictate their next move. But not you. Not you. Because you have kept your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And you have said, I'm not going to simply survive during this season. But with the grace of God and the favor of God that's upon my life, I will thrive. I will come through on the other side victorious, knowing that God has made a way. The book of Samuel, chapter 2, reveals that God is able to take someone from the ashes and elevate that person into the palace of the king. And so it is that God is going to take people, those whom everyone overlooked. The face of God has stood still upon you. And God will promote you. God will release his favor upon you. And even though you may have been despised, even though you may have been overlooked for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, there is divine acceleration coming to you because you took this time to prepare. And I prophesy in the name of Jesus that your season has come. Arise, get up, get ready, for God is about to use you in a powerful, mighty way in the name of Jesus. If that is you, in the comment section below, I'm wanting you to write down, that is me. I receive it. I appropriate it in Jesus' name. Verse 2 says, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. You see, the season will not only set you up to fulfill your destiny, but that of future generations. The Bible declares that God is a generational God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Galatians 3, 7-9 says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I declare that generational poverty will become generational prosperity. Wealth that cannot be spent in 3 lifetimes. In the name of Jesus, receive it now. Many might say, well, how is this going to happen? How? It's one thing to decree a thing, but how? It is simply through obedience. And remember, my definition of obedience is faith in action. Responding to the call by faith. That is what obedience is. You break the spirit of poverty by being faithful with your tithe and generous in your giving. This is how you break the back of the spirit of poverty. This is how you get rid and remove once and for all the spirit of poverty from your house. It's by being faithful with your tithe and generous in your giving. You see, when you are a tither, we have access to what is referred to as tithers' rights. Now remember, you tithe to your local church, your storehouse, the place that spiritually feeds you. So all the tithers, listen up. Number one, the first tither's right. Number one is provision. In Malachi chapter 3, God says this. He says, test me now in this, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, the floodgates of heaven, and pour you out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to store it. That speaks of provision. Provision that God releases because of your position in covenant with God. But it's only available to those who are in covenant with God. To those who say, I will not only hear things that God says about the covenant, I will position myself accordingly so that I can enjoy the fullness of God's covenant promises in and upon my life. Number two is protection. Because it goes on to say in Malachi chapter 3 that the devourer is rebuked. In other words, no wicked thing will be able to touch you. The Bible says in Psalm 91, though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. You will not suffer loss. You will only experience increase and multiplication because that is your portion as you remain in covenant with Him. Number three is promotion. Promotion. The Bible ends off in Malachi chapter 3 to say this. It says, the world will once again see the difference between those who serve God and those who do not. In other words, the blessing favor of God is visible, tangible upon your life. That even your enemies, even the world will look at you and say there's something different about you. Isn't it interesting that we have the Jewish people all around the world where people still look upon them and say that they are blessed. And I want you to understand that the book of Galatians chapter 3 says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have been grafted in. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. He has done great things. And so many people, unfortunately, make this mistake to go and simply read the Bible from a historic point of view and say, well, hey, there's no denying that the Israelites were blessed, that even during a time in the wilderness where you would not expect it to go well with people, the Bible says that as they left Egypt, there was no feeble among them. In other words, they were not those who were sluggish, those who could hardly move, those who had torn muscles, those who were so sick they could hardly move, they had to camp in a special hospital tent in the wilderness. The Bible says that there was no feeble among them. In a time when they needed water, Moses was simply instructed to speak to the rock, and then out of the rock flowed water, nourishing every single one, giving every single one something to drink. At another time, they were crying out in the desert for true nourishment, sustenance. And what happened was is that manna and quail was delivered by God Himself to His people. If God could keep what the Bible refers to as a stiff-necked people in the Old Testament, under an old covenant, if He could keep them amidst all the things they said, amidst all the things they did, how much more will He not come who has established for us a better covenant based on better promises? It is time that we truly awaken to the reality of the new covenant. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to go to the Lord's table together, partake of the bread and partake of the cup, which Jesus did say is the new covenant in my blood. But today I want us to have a revelation that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But also that faith comes by hearing the covenant of God. In other words, that divine health is your portion. Living in prosperity and abundance is your portion in Jesus Christ. But there are those watching right now, and you've never given your life to Jesus ever before. This is your moment. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Will you now not make this decision voluntarily and say, I will bow my knee and publicly confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you've given your life to Jesus before, but you know what? Even now, during this time of worship, the Spirit of the Lord just once again touched you. And you were reminded of back then when you did serve Him. But you know deep down inside, you're not there where you're supposed to be. Your life is not speaking of the fullness of God's covenant promises. You can come back to Him right here, right now, by simply praying this prayer and believing it with your heart. So are you ready? Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I've sinned against you. So I ask that you will forgive me of all of my sin. Right here and right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I receive His forgiveness. Will you come and touch me? Change me. Set me free. Fill me. And let me never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen.